KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes, and Kevin, you can probably guess what I'm going to say next.
The producer in the studio today?
Something like that. I was thinking more along the lines of, it's a great day to be a Bulldog.
Oh,
always
sorry.
Always the tagline I like to go with, always a great day to be a Bulldog, if you ask me. But I want to start the show off a little bit different today. A little bit of a spin, talking about a former Fresno State student athlete, an alum. And of course, Kevin, you probably know where I'm going to start with this.
I got
Derek Carr,
the
Raiders
yeah.
quarterback. Tough game for the Raiders on a Thursday night, but overall this season we've seen Derek, the former Bulldog great, really lead the Raiders to their best season in a long time. They're 10-3 even with the loss. The unfortunate part there is that 10-3 now ties them with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs own the tiebreaker, and therefore that means the Raiders are not in control of the division right now.
They dropped to the fifth seed. From that
dropped
loss.
To the fifth seed, that went from number one Ugh. to number five in the AFC. Derek didn't have his best game, but overall the season he's in the MVP talk. It would be pretty special for Fresno State to have an NFL MVP, which I don't believe has ever happened before for the Bulldogs. It's happened in Major League Baseball with Terry Pendleton winning it a couple decades ago now, I guess it was. But don't think it's ever happened in the NFL, and Derek might be the first guy to do it.
It'd be really cool to see it happen, but that game on Thursday night, it took a hit to his chances in that MVP race, but he's still got, I mean, look at all the things he's doing. He's breaking records. I can't remember fourth quarter touchdown comebacks in the fourth quarter with a touchdown pass. It's some NFL record.
Five in one
so
year.
So he's showing, like, we had Bill Romanowski on way earlier in this year, and he talked about when John Elway took the field that you could see the confidence coming from him, and you knew that you were going to score. He knew they were going to win that game. I think that's the same confidence that Derek Carr brings on the field when he walks on the field. No matter how far they're down by, the team always knows that the defense can maybe get one stop, that Carr's going to drive down the offense down the field and score that game-winning touchdown, which he's shown to do this year. So the Raiders are having an exceptional year this year, and it's pretty much on the shoulders of, I mean, not all on the shoulders, but a lot of it is Derek Carr for sure.
Yeah, still 10-3 on the year. You know, that's tied for first place right now, as we mentioned, but the Raiders would not win that tiebreaker against the Chiefs. That said, though, it's their best season since probably 2001 when they went to the Super Bowl the last time. They haven't been to the playoffs since the early 2000s, so, I mean, just getting there is going to be really special for them, and they've all but clinched that. You know, I think one more win would definitely seal the deal for them, and they've got
But it's different now. It's different now. They go in as a 5 seed and a 1 seed. That's a completely different thing. Now you're playing wild card weekend. You know, you're going to play away from your home field instead of having home field advantage, so I'm not sure if they have the possibility of turning it back around since Kansas City beat them twice, you know, and they got a stranglehold kind of on the tiebreaker. But it'll be a little different road. But, yeah, hopefully they're going to get there. It'd be cool to see Carr get there, you know, and lead them far into it. Just not further than the Steelers.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, the good
But we're a long way off still.
Yeah, the good thing about it, I think, if you're a Raiders fan, is that the core of this team, all their star players are pretty young guys for the most part, unless you're talking about the kicker. But, you know, Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, kind of the cornerstones, Amari Cooper, this could be a team that's a threat in the AFC for quite a few years. So we'll see how they finish out the year. They've got 3 games left, the Chiefs with 3 games left too. Probably going to take the Chiefs losing one or two of those for the Raiders to take back that number one seed. But
Khalil Mack's playing out of his mind though right now.
He is, return of the Mac.
He's causing a lot of disruption. And like they were saying the other night, but I think I was watching the broadcast, and he gets better as the game goes on. He knows how to close out games. Just like, so the combination of him and Carr being able to close out games, defensive and offensive side, is really a big thing heading into late December when you really need these wins. But wouldn't it be cool, though, if the scenario played out, Pittsburgh and Oakland could meet in the wild card round. You know, if Pittsburgh goes to the playoffs, wins their division, usually, you know, the 4 or the 6 seed, that'd be cool to see them meet.
So what do your Steelers have to do to get in and make this happen?
We have to win out. We're tied with Baltimore right now, but Baltimore won the first game, so we have another game with them. We have to beat them in that game, and we have to win out the rest of them, which I feel we could do, but This is California, so we'll just keep it at that. We won't talk too much about Steelers.
Still a popular team kind of across the country with the style of play. But you mentioned the way the Raiders have come back so often in those fourth quarters, seeing Derek Carr lead those five game-winning drives this year. And I can't help but think back to his senior year at Fresno State, that 2013 season, when it feels a little bit like that when you watch this Raiders team. It feels kind of like that 2013 Fresno State team where, as a fan, you're looking at these games – no matter what the situation and feeling like, you know, the Bulldogs are going to find a way to win.
Yeah,
that's what good teams do. And I don't want to say it's destiny, but it almost felt like that in that 2013 season with Fresno State, of course, until San Jose State ruined everything so shockingly. But we'll see what they do. We'll see how they bounce back from a tough loss. You know, Derek's got the pinky injury that seems to still be hampering him, probably worse in the cold.
Definitely.
As we saw in Kansas City. But moving on to basketball. Basketball in full swing right now.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs men hosting Cal Poly today at 4 p.m. and the women are visiting UOP today at 5 p.m. So a little bit of a doubleheader of sorts with the home and away game to keep an eye on for the Red Wave. The men's team should be out for revenge after losing to Cal Poly last season on the road by double figures. That was a pretty surprising game at the time for fans. I think everyone was a little bit shocked how Cal Poly came out and sort of had their way with the Bulldogs. Dogs weren't really shooting well that night. I remember there being a huge free throw discrepancy. It was like 35 free throws for Cal Poly, and Fresno State had about half as many.
But that's the thing that's going on now, too, though. So we got to be careful because they're like 50% from the free throw line right now. And some of these games, like the game against Marquette, if we'd have made some of those free throws or wouldn't have sent them as much to the free throw line, it could be a W in the column instead of a loss. And that's almost the same thing that's going on right now, you know, so I'm not sure if they can clean themselves up on the free throw line or not, or just don't send them to the free throw line as much. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think that's going to have to be a big emphasis for this team going forward. They've got some good free throw shooters. We saw them, they shot pretty well from the line against Marquette, but it was that Drake game on Saturday where the Bulldogs had a 20-point lead there with about 10 minutes to go. And let Drake come all the way back and send it to overtime. Luckily, the Bulldogs still pulled out the win on the road. But Fresno State, I forget what the actual number was, 6 of 19 from the free throw line at Drake, 31%. You got to be much better than that. And
yeah, sure.
You know, if you are, that game is nowhere near going to overtime. That's for sure. But the Bulldogs did pull out the 2-point win. A few days later, they went to Marquette, a very good Marquette team that has beaten everybody else on their schedule at home by 20 or more points. Just came off a road win at Georgia where they beat Georgia pretty handily. And then Fresno State hangs in. You know, they get down early on and probably ends up being the difference in the game, but they make a furious comeback there in the second half, end up losing by 3. Good and bad. The bad part is the Bulldogs were not hitting on all cylinders early in that game. We saw a couple of the star players, Paul Watts and Jerron Hopkins, a little bit quiet there in the early going, but they all picked it up in the second half. We saw a big performance from Terrell Carter. Another great performance from Jamel Taylor.
Jamel Taylor, yeah, he had 16 points.
And the Bulldogs ended up getting within 2 points there several times within the last minute or two. So they were right there in that game, and it should be a good early season test for them. The types of competition they'll see as they go forward in Mountain West play with the San Diego States, the Nevadas, the New Mexicos. And so I think it's good for them to be prepared for that type of road environment.
Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon we got coming up. Non-conference game, of course.
Yeah, but still, it's a good test probably.
Just over a week here. But yeah, those are the types of games you want heading into conference play to test your team.
What's sticking out to me is they had 24 assists in that game. So they're sharing the ball. It's not being relied upon. Like you said, Terrell Carter comes off. He scores 21 points in that game. You know, lay off the technical fouls, Terrell, but we don't need any more of those. But no, he had a great game. 21. They're spreading the ball, 24 assists. I mean, like you said, Jamel Taylor, 16 points. But they're going to have a challenge with Cal Poly today. They lead the Big West in three-point percentage, or three-pointers made, and they lead all Division I schools with the least amount of turnovers in a game. And they have
Kyle Toth.
His shooting percentage is 55% from the three-point line. So They're going to have to watch. They're going to spread the Bulldogs out because they could shoot the three. Thank goodness that we're long enough. I'm pretty sure we're. And thank goodness we got a record of coming off a loss. We have a 10-0 record of winning after we come off a loss. I hope I don't jinx it, but I'm just saying we usually don't lose these
wood.
Games,
knock
you know,
on
knock on the wood in the studio. But we usually don't lose these games after coming off a loss. But Cal Poly's going to be a test today for sure.
No, I like that, though, Kevin, spreading a little bit of knowledge here with the Cal Poly research. I didn't know about their three-point shooter, but. That could be another interesting angle to this game is with Jamel Taylor of the Bulldogs, 57% from the arc this year. We might have a little bit of three-point shootout going on between those two guys. And I looked it up just before the show today, and Jamel Taylor is in the top five in the country right now in three-point percentage. So
It'll
be nice to see. I posed the question to Stephen Trembley, the SID for men's basketball here at Fresno State the other day, is Jamel Taylor the best three-point shooter in Bulldog history? I've watched the team for a long time, and I don't remember many guys, if any, hitting that type of percentage on the year, 57%. If he can keep that up, has got to put them way up there in the record books at Fresno State.
Yeah, let's hope he keeps it going today, because like I said, they have a sharpshooter on their team. We have a sharpshooter on our team as well, so we're going to see who wins the – maybe we could just keep it to points in the paint because we seem to have that. We could get points in the paint. Terrell Carter is massive, and he's handling the duties right now until Edo comes back. So, and it seems like he's performing as good as he needs to be, and we're getting these bench points. As long as we get the bench points, keep going. And then Paul Watson, you know, comes back to life again this game, you know, a little off, and Jaron Hawk was a little off last game, but – they'll be fine. You can't be good every game, you know, so.
Yeah, Jamel Taylor, he had all four of his three-point attempts at Marquette, hit 5 of 10 at Drake, and
yeah,
even with
him
that, you know, that tuned in, that hot from the outside, I think Terrell Carter was the player of the game at Marquette with 21 points. Like you mentioned, 10 of 14 shooting. You know, he's taking good shots, smart shots. He's playing down low, being physical, and I think it helped a lot that Marquette, they had a couple of true centers that they were matching up with him, which is when the Bulldogs coaching staff sees that, it's like that's the time to put in Terrell Carter.
Because
a lot of the opponents we play, especially in the non-conference season, we've seen they're not using a true center against the Bulldogs. They're sliding over a forward, maybe a smaller guy, maybe a guy that runs more. And it's tough to match up a guy like Terrell Carter, who's really a true center, against a guy who's playing out of position. So when the Bulldogs do face those guys that are, you know, playing the position the way it's designed, so to speak, Carter can really do some damage. Only a junior this year, came off the bench to do that damage against Marquette. And so it's going to be fun to see how the coaching staff uses him going forward. It's going to be fun to see how that performance parlays into confidence for him, which, you know, he doesn't really seem to be lacking.
Yeah, I know, for sure. But Cal Poly got bench scorers, too. I mean, they got the guy, Victor Joseph. He comes off the bench. He averages 12 points a game. He has had 18 points in his last five games. But the thing is Cal Poly's starting a six-game road trip today. And they probably don't want to start off on a bad foot, you know. And so we're going to get all their energy in the beginning of this road trip. You know, we're not getting them at the end of the road trip when they could be tired or something like that. They want to start off on a good foot, and they're going to bring as much as they can. So Bulldogs just got to be aware of that and not write them off and stay focused and just take care of business today.
Yeah, and Cal Poly historically has not had much success playing in Fresno. You know, they got the win last year on their home floor, but that was sort of the anomaly if you go back in this series, which – I think they're calling it the Battle of the Valley today, the Central Coast versus the San Joaquin Valley. And then interesting, too, that the women are playing in Stockton against UOP. So we've got two intra-Valley matchups today, so to speak. We'll hope the Bulldogs come out on top in both of them.
Yep, let's hope.
Kevin, you had a chance to catch up with some Bulldogs players and Coach Rodney Terry, and we're going to bring you those interviews momentarily. But first, the women's team, we mentioned they have the big game tonight, just up the 99 at UOP, which has always been a fun rivalry. The Fresno State women sit at 5-3, coming off a home win over Cal State Dominguez Hills and a loss Sunday on the road against a really good Washington team. I think they're ranked 13th in the country right now. That was a great test for this team, sort of like the men with Marquette, and the women got the test with Washington, high-ranked team. And it's good to know where your team's at, especially being that, like the men, this women's team, they've got new players. They've got newcomers who don't have a lot of starting experience. It's a relatively young team, still working on gelling together. And so it's good to kind of test yourself against the best of the best and see where you stand so that you have that information going forward and know where you need to improve to compete at that level. And, you know, ideally you do that in the non-conference season before conference play starts, before the games count even more, before there's, yeah, every game's either a win or a loss in the win and loss column. But when you're in conference play, those wins and losses mean a lot,
yeah, they
more,
mean a lot
to,
more
to your postseason berths or your championship trophy case or what have you.
Well, they bounced back, but with CSU Dominguez Hills on Wednesday night, you know, Candace White had a big game, 21 points. Bago had a big game like she always does. I mean, she's always, it wasn't so much in points, but her presence is just everywhere. I've seen a couple, you know, Dominguez Hills players driving the basket thinking they're in the clear, and then all of a sudden you just see this big arm come out of nowhere from Bago and the whole crowd. It's cool because although the Samart Center isn't packed to the max, you know, for women's basketball,
it's a big arena.
It's just cool that the energy that she brings to the floor, the whole crowd, when she makes a block, the whole crowd, everyone's yelling, you know, it gets the transition, you know, going the other way, like fast. You could feel the energy pick up. And she just brings a whole nother level to that team. And it's not just blocks and, you know, it's just all around thing. But the whole team seems to be really fast. They're pressuring the ball a lot and they're moving the ball around a lot. Like I said, White and Kendra Martin, they're all contributing in their own ways, but I think they're going to be fine this year. I don't see a problem that Coach White has, you know, any indications early of anything that they should be worried about.
Yeah, and we mentioned last week, too, the defending, say it with a bit of an asterisk, because we know how close the Dogs were to winning that Mountain West title last year. But the defending Mountain West champs, Colorado State, beat the Dogs by 1 point in that Mountain West tournament championship game. Kevin, I think you told me last time you were a little bit tired of hearing about that, so I'll try not to say too much more.
I know, man. But, we got to let it go.
Yeah, got to let it go, right? I think it's going to be talked about until the Bulldogs overcome them, and hopefully that'll be this year for this Fresno State team. I know that's what they're working toward. That's what their goals are. But Colorado State also lost by over 30 points to Washington. So I think, you know, the Bulldogs can also look at that like competition and say, hey, we know where we need to get on a national scope, but we also know the other good teams in the Mountain West had a similar result against a team like Washington.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they can't be too down on themselves about it. They see that, you know, that was a quality team, so they can't be too upset over it. But like I said, they're going to be fine this year. I don't see a problem, really. We got to get Jamie White here, though, in the studio. That'd be nice to get her in here and talk to her personally one of these weeks. But
yeah, hopefully our producer can get that set up in the coming weeks.
He's slacking.
Yeah. He keeps telling me he's got this whole graduation thing coming up.
Yeah, finals. What are finals? I don't even understand. No pressure at all. No time involved there at all. But
no, in all seriousness, though, good luck on your finals. We hope you finish strong here and
thank you, sir.
Get that degree in hand.
I feel good.
Happy to call you a Fresno State alumni here in the next couple of weeks.
I know. I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, I you know, I came from the East Coast. Everyone knows that. I didn't grow up here, but it's cool the university vibe, you know, and just being a Bulldog alum and, you know, saying that I'm part of the Red Wave. Pretty cool. I mean, at first, you know, you don't feel it, but then it you know, eventually when you're around all the time, and especially since I've been hanging around all the sports and going to the games, it grows on you, and I'm proud to say it, so I'm proud to be a Bulldog.
Glad to hear it. No, I think that's interesting as a, you know, myself being a lifelong Fresnan, I always like to hear when people come in from other places, other states, other parts of the country, what they think of the area, what they think of the region, what they think of the school, really. So I think it's neat to hear your perspective on that. And
Pittsburgh, we got a lot of pride. When you don't travel outside of the city that often, when you live there all your life, you think you're like, we're top notch. We're, you know, and I still think that about the city of Pittsburgh. There's no doubt about it. They got massive pride. You know, they're covering babies when they're born with terrible towels in the hospitals, and, you know, they have terrible towels everywhere, and, you know, Penguins fans, whatever. But Fresno State rivals any other city. I mean, you go to the tailgates at the football games, even though this year wasn't a great example, but you go to basketball games, you just hear people talking and the pride they have, all the red you see being worn by everyone, and in-depth knowledge and historians like yourself that just take pride in knowing everything about Fresno State athletics. It's pretty cool town, pretty cool university to be a part of.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what makes it special, and we're glad you're a part of it, soon to be soon to be a graduate. Yeah. So, hey, anyone out there listening who's hiring, Kevin's about to be on the market.
Look me up. I'm not going to do no plug or any websites out there, but, you know, you can look on the website at KFSR and see my first last name. You can find out anything you need.
There you go. But with no further ado now, we mentioned that Kevin caught up with Coach Rodney Terry, the men's basketball team, as well as some of the student athletes, and we'll bring you those interviews now.
Coach, going up against Cal Poly Saturday, you guys have had a lot of bench scoring, you know, a lot of help from the bench, and they also have a sophomore guard, Victor Joseph. He's averaging about 18 points in the last five games. Is that going to be the difference? Do you feel like that's the difference, bench points in this game, or a big factor?
Well, I'll tell you what, he has played well. You know, Victor's come in and shoot at a very good clip. He's shooting about 40-some percent, 44% from three. And, you know, he's making a lot of shots, and he's been a difference for those guys off the bench. And he'll be a guy when he comes in, you know, instantly changing the game in terms of another scoring threat on the floor. You know, I think for us, we're going to continue to have to try to guard and have really good shooting defense against him when he comes in. You know, and again, we just ask our guys to come in off the bench to come in and you know, continue to pass the baton and hold the line when they come in for us, you know, whether that's from a defensive standpoint and offensive standpoint as well.
They have also have a sharpshooter shooting very good from the three-point line, as you are right now. Are you afraid that it's going to get into a shooting match, or you guys would rather take them? Do you feel like you have the advantage in the paint more against them than take it outside and spread the floor?
Well, our approach every game, Kevin, is to play inside out. You know, we don't like to try to come into any games and we have to attack a team outside in because, again, we have older interior players that we feel like they can score the ball inside for us as well. And we feel like we have some guys, once that ball has gotten to the paint, whether it's a, you know, post feed, you know, whether we got there with the drive, that we can attack in the teeth of the defense, and that'll lend us an opportunity to have better scoring opportunities from the perimeter. So we work really hard at trying to do that. Tote is one of the better shooters in the country. I mean, he and JT both are in the top 10 in percentage drops. They shoot about 54%. JT's right up there with them and stuff. So we know, you know, you shoot 54%, that's pretty much a layup. So I mean, we got to do a great job of really trying to not lose him and have great shooter defense on him as well.
Going off that Marquette loss, you had a really strong finish, I asked them in the second half, but what do you take away from that game as far as the team perspective?
Well, I thought our guys responded to the challenge. We really challenged them hard at halftime in terms of coming out and not letting our offense be affected by our defense. Because our defense, I thought, was pretty good to start the half, to start the ball game. We had a couple of breakdowns when we went under screens and gave guys really good, clear looks for threes. And early in the first half, and I thought in the second half, we played with much more urgency and with much more detail oriented on both ends of the floor. You know, it was a long game. All we had to do was work ourselves possession by possession to get back in the game, and we did that.
I got one more question for you. Coach, how big was that performance of Terrell Carter, 21 points here tonight? How do you feel his progression is as a player? You know, how do you feel he's some of the things that are standing out to him to you about him?
Well, he's been doing that over the last five games for us. You know, he didn't get off to the start of the season that we thought he would the first couple games, but from that point on, he fought through some adversity, and he's given us great minutes inside and given us a really good post presence. You know, even in the game against Drake, he gave us very effective minutes. There were 11 minutes there, granted, with foul trouble, but he gave us 8 big points and was a big part of us, you know, really widening our lead at Drake before he fouled out. But he's been coming, and he's worked really hard, and we just need him to continue to give us that presence. He gave us that presence toward the latter part of last season, so it's what we've come to expect from him. And he's a load in to deal with. I mean, he did a great job against a fifth-year guy who's really good, and, you know, preseason all Big East pick in Fisher. So, you know, we expect big things from him in giving us a physical
play. All right, thanks, Coach.
Okay. Thanks,
Jamel, going into the game on Saturday, you've been lighting up the three-point line. You feel, looks like you're really comfortable behind it, but they also have a three-point shooter and he's shooting about 55% from the line right now. You feel like it might turn into a shootout from behind the arc?
I'm not looking for a shootout, but I've heard he's a very good shooter. Saw some scouting, he's knocking it down. So it's exciting to see another guy on the opposite team shooting as well as I am and things like that, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, the team had about 24 assists in the last game. It seems like you guys are really spreading the ball around. Do you feel like that's going to be important, you know, going down further on the season, to sharing the ball and bench points that you guys have been getting?
Definitely. I think especially with that last game, 24 assists, that's a lot of assists. And it just showed the activity that we had on offense, and it allowed for our defense to kind of have more energy because we were excited the next guy was making the shots and things like that, moving the ball around. So it was good to see, and hopefully we can keep it consistent. If we can do that each game, it would be a very good team.
And one more thing, right now Cal Poly is leading Division I teams with the least amount of turnovers in the game. So is that going to be important? You got to take care of the ball and make sure you guys don't have as many turnovers. How are you going to get into forcing them into turnovers?
I think for us, we just have to play our principles. Know the scouting report, make sure we stick to that, play the right type of defense, and just stick to our game plan. That's the most important thing. If we do that, we'll have a good chance.
Is there anything you guys are holding on for last season when you went to their house and they kind of like beat you by double digits? Is this like kind of a payback?
I think every game we want to come out with the same intensity. Last year they did beat us, but this game is just as important as any game, so we want to win each one. So the same level of intensity that we've had previous games, we got to have this one and things like that. So yeah, no problem.
All right, Paul, coming up against Cal Poly this Saturday. You know, didn't take as many shots the last game as you did, you know, the game prior against Drake. How do you feel like you're going to rebound in this game, and what do you think the keys are to pulling off a victory at the Shea Martin Center?
Individually, I just start from there. You know, it's not about shots. It's never really about myself. I feel the last game was more about the win. Trying to fill the stat sheet in other ways, and just focusing on the defensive end. But the rebound from that loss, we just, definitely got to come in, play with a lot more intensity and urgency that we did in the second half in the last game. Try to, play with that throughout the whole game. So I feel like, if we play with that energy, that intensity the whole game, it should be pretty fun.
Do you feel like the team is gelling more as the weeks go on? I was asking Jamel, you had more assists, 24 assists that game. And you feel like that's what you're talking about, getting bench poised and not so much worried about your personal stats, but the whole team in general would get the wins.
Definitely. Guys, are starting to figure out each other more and more, figuring out where guys like the ball on the floor. Just finding a way to get guys open and, get the ball in the best position for them to be successful, maybe put the ball in the hole for us or make another play for another guy. So I would definitely say guys are starting to figure it out and, coming together and gel more and more. The young guys are playing really hard for us right now. Six games into the season now, so guys are, picking it up, figuring things out more and more. And that's the biggest thing for the younger guys, is being able to get out there and get some experience. That would be the best way, for them to learn and grow out there. So they're definitely figuring things out.
Speaking of guys picking it up, Terrell Carter, 21 points last game. Like, how important is it for him to bring that energy every game and get them points coming off the bench?
Terrell had a great game. Definitely a big game for us. He gave us a huge lift coming off the bench. But it's something he's capable of doing each and every night. If he comes in with the energy that he did, makes himself an available post presence. The sky's the limit for him. So he gave us a great lift, and he could do a lot more for us.
Although it was a loss against Marquette, you had a really strong run. You guys had a really strong run in the second half. What can you learn from that game? What do you pull away from that game about your team?
We have a lot of potential to be a great team in the future. We're not playing anywhere near our best basketball right now. Like Coach Terry says, we don't want to be playing our best basketball until about February or March. So definitely have the potential to be a great team. Just learning from that game, being able to stay consistent and, play with tons of energy from the jump and, not just be able to pick it up in the second half.
Kevin Kirsten, our Fresno State Sports Report producer, thanks for all you do.
Yeah, buddy, Christmas is coming up. I'll take a couple Christmas gifts, a couple Bulldog mini plans, basketball games, something like that.
I'll see what I can do about that.
I can find them in my stocking. That'd be a nice surprise on Christmas Day.
I'll see what I can do about that. And thanks to you, the listeners, for joining us this morning. And please come back next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for another Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSR Sports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.